Dr. Adnan Al-Yazigi, December 3, 2011, Jacksonville, Florida. Issam Al-Hadi, interviewer and translator for the University of Florida, George A. Smathers Libraries, edited by Jardy Transcription. This recording is made by Richard Salzberg. Al-Hadi. Hello, and thank you, Dr. Adnan Al-Yazigi. Adnan Al-Yazigi. Hello. Al-Hadi, we are very happy to have you with us today for this interview at the house of Dr. Waji Dimitri in Jacksonville, Florida. My name is Issam Al-Hadi, and today's date is Saturday, December 3rd, 2011, and it is now 2:30 p.m. It is great to have you, Dr. Adnan. Adnan, I am happy to be here with you. Al-Hadi, let us begin with your early stages of life before coming to America. Would you please tell us about that period, including your place of birth and any other details about that period? Adnan. I was born in the town of Al-Nab in the Kalamun region of Syria. My family was originally from a village in the suburbs of Homs named Zaidal. It is located 5 kilometers away from Homs. My family in Zaidal is big and most of its members ended up here in the USA. I had my high school education at Kalamun High School in Al-Nab and then moved to Damascus where I had my BA in pharmacology and chemical pharmacology. My desire to continue my education and to obtain a PhD in pharmacology brought me to the USA where some of my family members, including my sister and other relatives, had already established themselves. I came to Jacksonville and started my studies with an English language course because the second language we had in Syria was French. I spent 4 months in that English language course and then moved to Gainesville, where I had an intensive English language course at the University of Florida. I also attended the College of Pharmacology at UF for one quarter in 1972. Halfway into that quarter at UF, I received a research assistant fellowship from the University of Houston. I moved to Houston in the summer of 1972 to do my master's degree in pharmacology there. It took me 1 year and 4 months to finish my studies in Houston, and after that I returned to Jacksonville to be with the rest of my family members. I began working as a pharmacist, and in the meantime I continued making contacts and sending applications to different universities. Luckily, I got accepted into the University of Minnesota College of Pharmacology program. I moved to Minnesota in August 1974 and remained there for 4 years until I obtained my PhD in pharmacokinetics. During my period there, I also worked as a teacher associate too. That was the highest level of teaching assistantship. The then dean of the pharmacology college at the University of Minnesota was also serving as an advisor for the College of Pharmacology at Riyadh University in Saudi Arabia. He was helping them to develop their academic program and curriculum, and also with staff recruitment from the USA. They were interested in individuals who have knowledge of Arabic. He suggested that I should meet with the dean and vice dean of the College of Pharmacology of Riyadh University, which is now the University of King Saud. I met with them and learned that they didn't have the field of pharmacokinetics, and they were looking for someone in that field. I applied, and they offered me an assistant professor position at the College of Pharmacology at Riyadh University. I worked with them for 3 years. Al-Hadi, when did you go to Riyadh? Adnan, it was in 1978. In the summer of 1980, the Cancer Therapy Institute at King Faisal Specialist Hospital was still under construction under the supervision of an American company called Hospital Corporation of America, and they were trying to recruit staff for that institute. I got in touch with them, and they proposed to offer me a position with the institute. I went back to Jacksonville, Florida, and then returned to Riyadh in August 1981 to join the King Faisal Specialist Hospital. It is a fact to say that I and another 7 or 8 scientists were the people who actually brought the Cancer Therapy Institute in Riyadh into operation. We covered a variety of specialties such as pharmacokinetics, radiation therapy, cyclotron operation, and radionuclide production. Although the Institute's infrastructure was in place, through our joint efforts, we we allow the universe, the Institute, to function more efficiently and professionally. The Americans who established the Institute also helped to develop its programs and continue to be actual managers. After I joined the Institute, we continued to recruit more scientists to work with us. Al-Hadi, how many years did you spend at the Institute? Adnan, I was there for 4 years when it was still the Therapy Institute. After that, the hospital administration decided to make it into a research center to deal with the scientific problems that deal with cancer diseases and other cases with chronic diseases that the hospital was receiving from other hospitals. This shift resulted in a broadening of the research efforts it had been focused on for the first 4 years, which was cancer therapy. I became the head of the pharmacokinetics department. We began to cooperate with other oncology specialists on some clinical trials. My role in these trials was to cover all that related to the field of pharmacokinetics. All the drugs that were used in cancer therapy were very strong and very highly toxic. The role of pharmacokinetics is to reduce the toxicity and to increase the efficiency of these drugs. This is what I have been doing. My colleagues and I were able to produce many publications and papers on these research projects. I have 165 publications listed on my resume, including 95 papers and many other short reports and abstracts. In addition to a number of conferences that I have attended, I've also been invited to many other conferences as a guest speaker to talk about my field of research and also about our experience from the King Faisal Hospital. Al-Hadi, this is very good. It is indeed a wealth of knowledge and a rich experience. When did you finish working for the Institute in Riyadh? Adnan, I returned back in 1998 after 17 years of work for the Institute and another 3 years of work for the King Saud University. Al-Hadi, is it fair to say that most of your professional experience came from your work in Riyadh? Adnan, this is true for the research part of my professional experience. However, after coming back from Saudi Arabia in 1998, and up to this date, I associated myself with a company named Southern Testing and Research Laboratories in Wilson, North Carolina. I am the founding manager of the pharmacokinetics division of this company. I told them that I wanted to go back to Jacksonville, where the rest of my family is. I should mention that during these years, all of my family members and many of my relatives moved to Jacksonville. My father died in 1989, and 2 years later, in 1991, my mother came to settle in Jacksonville. I proposed to the company that they open a branch in Jacksonville and that I can be their partner. They accepted the idea, and accordingly, the Southern Testing and Research Laboratories Jacksonville was established. I became the manager and partner in this company. I recruited many employees to help me in running this company. Al-Hadi, when did this company start? Adnan, it started in 1998, and I am in this position since that date. Al-Hadi, this is very impressive. Adnan, thank you. I should also mention that during this time, I also became an adjunct faculty with the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. I joined their psychopharmacology department and continued working with them for 3 to 4 years. When my work at the company became too overwhelming, I decided to reduce my work with the Mayo Clinic. Al-Hadi, it is a great honor to know about such an impressive professional history. Adnan, thank you very much. Al-Hadi, it has become very clear that you have a very long experience with a wide variety of educational systems. You began your university education at the University of Damascus, and then you moved to the University of Florida, and then to the University of Houston, followed by your period of study at the University of Minnesota, and finally your teaching and work experience in Riyadh. I'm going to ask you to draw a comparison between the Arab educational system on the one hand and the American system on the other in your field of specialty. Adnan, there are no grounds for comparison at all. I feel proud that I am a graduate of the University of Damascus. It is undoubtedly one of the Arab universities that have established academic traditions. However, there were no research activities at all. They focused mainly on teaching basic science subjects such as chemistry, physics, and all fields of biological sciences. Research in these fields was absent. This is certainly a big drawback. I was hoping to cooperate with them, but due to a lack of material and equipment facilities, it was not possible to realize the many hopes and ideas I had. It is also a fact that the faculty members at the University of Damascus are burdened with a very heavy teaching load. This makes it even harder for those who wish to undertake any research to do so. Again, I reiterate what I said earlier about basic science fields there. These helped me immensely to carry on my graduate studies here with no problem at all. The problem appears when it comes to the field of applied sciences. Most of the instructors there were graduates from France. Those of them who taught topics such as pharmacochemistry, for instance, had no opportunity to develop their knowledge in this field beyond what they had already learned in France. This is because they didn't have the opportunity to follow up and communicate with other science research institutions to get further professional development. To me, this was undoubtedly an academic deficiency. I am talking about my days 30 or 40 years ago in the College of Pharmacology. I hope it is getting better now. I heard that they are now offering an MA and PhD degrees. Al-Hadi, how was it at Riyadh University? Adnan, the case of Riyadh University was completely different. As I mentioned earlier, I went to Riyadh University following a recommendation by the dean of the Pharmacology College at the University of Minnesota, who was also acting as an advisor for the pharmacology program at Riyadh University, and was also helping them with their curriculum to match that of American universities. He suggested that I should go and start the pharmacokinetics program there. In Riyadh University, there was a huge emphasis on research. Faculty promotion is tied to the number of published research papers. This is similar to the system in any American university that I've been to. The impact of the American university system on the Riyadh University, which later became King Saud University, is undoubtedly limitless. We shouldn't forget that a great percentage of professors and instructors at King Saud University got their degrees from American universities. Al-Hadi, I think it is notable that not only the King Saud University, but also most of the Saudi universities have almost literally adopted the American university system. I think when it comes to education, it is a good policy to start from where the others have reached, rather than starting from the beginning. Adnan, that is wonderful. However, I may disagree on one point, that not all the Saudi universities are like that. They have varied systems. It is true that the influence of American university system could be felt on all of them, but to different degrees. The King Saud University in Dammam, for instance, is almost 100% American. Everything there follows the American system. For this reason, its graduates are highly qualified. Riyadh University may rank second after King Saud University. I recently heard that the Riyadh University is ranked number 106 worldwide. Al-Hadi. Another example may be the new University of King Abdullah, Adnan. This is a 100% research and graduate studies university. It doesn't have undergraduate programs. I can't make a precise judgment on this because I haven't been there recently. But from my reading and follow-up, I can assume that this university will soon be one of the magnificent universities in the Arab world. Al-Hadi. Let us move to another topic. Unfortunately, we are running out of time because we have only 30 minutes for this interview. Would you, as a member of the Arabic community here in Jacksonville, tell us about this community? What activities does it undertake, and to what degree is it interacting with the surrounding American society? Adnan. Arabs in Jacksonville are deeply rooted. I believe the first Arab immigration to Jacksonville took place in 1880. I am proud to state the fact that my relatives were also among those very early immigrants. Those were the uncles of my father and mother who came to Jacksonville from Homs and Nubk in 1880. At that time, those who had Arabic ethnic background suffered discrimination. Consequently, they hid their original names, such as the Yazidi name. In addition to the fact that these Arabic names were hard to pronounce, they were also indicative of being an alien. Changing names is one step the Arab community members had taken to get immersed into the bigger American society. Taking a new name happened by making a slight change in the original name. One of my father's uncles came here in 1932. His name was Yusuf. His children and all of his grandchildren changed their last name to Joseph. Today, the Josephs make one big family here in Jacksonville. Another early immigrant was called Abdul Latif. His children took the name of Albert. All of those were actually offsprings of the bigger Yazidi family. Another group who descended from another uncle of my father changed their original Arabic name, Yazidi, to Elian. The only group that kept the Yazidi name is the one that came here in the early 1950s. This is the time when the situation became different, and they felt no need to hide their ethnicity anymore. Today, there are no less than 40 or 50 families who are Yazidis, in addition to the other groups of the Josephs, the Elions, and the Alberts. Al-Hadi, this indicates very clearly that a big number of your family migrated to Jacksonville. To what extent are all of you still maintaining connections with Syria? Adnan Al-Yazishi, the older generations have no connections at all because of all the relatives that are here. The new immigrant generations are still maintaining very close connections. I and my brothers, for instance, are married to Syrian ladies, and all of our in-laws are in Syria. For that reason, we go to Syria every few years to see our relatives and to refresh our relations. Al-Hadi, when did you go to Syria last time? Adnan, it was in 2007. I took my wife and my mother to see her brother, who is still alive. Al-Hadi, do you have children? Adnan, I have a son and a daughter. My son is 31 years old, and he is a doctor. He works for the Shands Hospital in Jacksonville. His name is Edward Jack Yazigi, and he is an internal medicine specialist. He is also board certified. My daughter is named Susanna Maria Yazigi, and she is a chiropractic physician. She recently graduated from Palmer School of Chiropractic in Port Orange in Florida, and she is now practicing chiropractic medicine here in Florida, in Jacksonville. Al-Hadi, is their decision to go into the health and medical field a choice of their own, or are they influenced by you? Adnan, it is natural for the family to have an influence on the children's professional choice, although my wife has a law degree. I think it is unquestionable that the medical field offers a wide range of good opportunities. It also provides prestige and a stable financial situation. These have been their main incentives. I can proudly say that each one of my siblings has a child who is either studying or already graduated from a medical program. Two of my nephews are doctors. One of them is doing pediatrics in Ohio, and the other one is doing surgery at the University of Pittsburgh Hospital. Al-Hadi, are your children maintaining any connection with Syria? Adnan, they speak Arabic very well, but they don't write or read it. Many of their relatives from their mother's side are here. When they were in Saudi Arabia, we used to go to Syria. That helped to create a very close relationship with their grandfathers. The last time my son went to visit Syria was in 1997, and my daughter's last visit was in 2003. Let me go back to your question about the Jacksonville Arab community. In addition to the Syrian immigrants, there is also a large number of Palestinians who came here after the Nakba of 1948. They mainly came from the area of Ramallah. There are also many Lebanese. I can sum up by saying that the Arab community is well established and they are doing very well scholastically, professionally, and financially. Al-Hadi, how big is this community? Can you give me a roughly estimated number? Adnan, counting all those who are Arab and from Arab and of Arab descent, the number will be around 40,000 and maybe more. Al-Hadi, this is truly big. Adnan, true, there is one thing that I should mention and I should be very specific about. I am a scientist and I love to label things based on their actual designations. This is related to the reasons behind the early waves of immigration. Those early immigrants came here because of the religious discrimination they suffered during the late Ottoman period. They are basically Christians. The Palestinians who came after the Nakba of 1948 from Ramallah were also mostly Christians. They came and established their communities and churches here. Now they have four churches. The new immigrations were not restricted to Christians. Many Arabs continue to come and settle here in Jacksonville. They go to school and earn higher degrees, and some of them study medicine. I am particularly proud of the Syrian Muslim community and also the Palestinians and the Lebanese. This is in addition to the early generations who, to some extent, lost their connection with everything Arabic. They still claim their Arabic ethnicity, but their commitment to the varied Arab social activities is very limited. Al-Hadi, it is very clear that America has offered you a lot in terms of academic qualifications, settlement, and experience. At the end of this interview, let me ask you this last question. What do you think personally that they have given back to America? Adnan, this is a very wonderful question. The truth is, I am doing a type of lab work that no other laboratories do. My work focuses on toxicology and pharmacology other lab does. I can probably say that many government departments come and ask me to do work for them because they know that nobody else can do it in Jacksonville, and the only other option they have is to take it to Gainesville. They prefer to do it locally. This leads me to say that I offer services in the areas of toxics and drugs of abuse that weren't here before. I assume this is a good contribution. I also feel very loyal to this country. I am proud that I have been an American citizen for the past 30 years. I admit that this country has given me a lot, and I do my best to pay her back through my professional contributions and other social activities. Al-Hadi, we are very happy that we had this interview with you, Dr. Adnan. We hope to meet with you later on. Adnan, thank you very much and good luck with your project.